Today's message is Teshuvah, which has to do with repentance and returning to God. The last 2 weeks, we looked at Elul, which was the spiritual month of preparation. And you heard Rabbi Jonathan Kahn speak about Elul. God spoke to him about sharing this word on the first day of Elul, which was last weekend. So this is a fresh word from Jonathan Kahn. But continuing on that is the theme having to do with Teshuvah, which means to repent and return to God. Now, in Jewish tradition, the 10-day period between Rosh Hashanah, which is the Feast of Trumpets, and Yom Kippur, which is the Day of Atonement, is called Yamim Noarim. And you heard him say as well, these are the days of awe. That 10-day period between these two major feasts. Now, in Jewish tradition, the tradition of our forefathers, the Jewish rabbis and sages, they believe and they held that during this 10 days of awe, that divine judgment is rendered to determine whether a person will continue to live or die in the coming year. And it's also believed and taught among the traditions of our people that during this time that God reviews the books of judgment on Rosh Hashanah, on the first day of the month of Tishri. And then he hands out final judgment on Yom Kippur, which is the 10th day of the month of Tishri. Those 10 days of awe. So as a result of this tradition and teaching, these 10 days, which are known as these days of awe, start with Rosh Hashanah, also known as Yom HaDin, the day of judgment. And these 10 days are believed to be the last chance and the last opportunity to repent before God's judgment is finalized for the coming year. Now, this is even more relevant than a normal year, because when we come to Rosh Hashanah this year and we go through these days of awe and repentance and seeking God, and we come to Yom Kippur is when the Yovel, the year of Jubilee, is announced. This year is a year of Jubilee that's going to be announced on Yom Kippur. All these things are converging, as Jonathan Kahn spoke about. The year of the Shemitah, the Yovel, the Jubilee. And that word Yovel actually means a ram's horn. So we are coming, all these things are coming together with Sukkot, the final blood moon. Everything is converging. And as you said, where this is all going to come together and take place, I don't know, but we have to be ready, and we have to be prepared. And I've been speaking on that in the last 2 weeks. Again, according to Jewish tradition, there are three books that are opened on Rosh Hashanah. This is tradition, but it's based on Scripture. We'll look at it in a minute. The first book is called the Book of Life for the Wicked. The second, the Book of Life for the Righteous. And then the third book is the Book of Life for the in-between, for those who have not yet made a decision for the kingdom of God. And tradition says that each year God judges man's deeds and inscribes each name, our names, in one of these books. For those who are in-between, or let's say, straddling the fence, or even as we saw in the video, in the gray area, which you're not going to be able to be in a gray area anymore. It's going to be black or white, good or evil, the kingdom of God or the dominion of hell. No more gray anymore. each year, God puts our names in this. But for the in-between, that's not written in either of these books, the fate, our fate is deferred and hangs in balance until Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. But if there's sincere repentance that takes place during these days of awe, Yamim Norim, tradition teaches that God will grant life all to all those who repent and seek Him with all their heart. In the book of Joel, in chapter 2, starting in verse 12 through verse 13, it says, "Even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all of your heart, with fasting, as my wife spoke about earlier, weeping and mourning." Fasting does no good if you're not weeping and mourning and repenting with tears before God. And I love this verse that follows, and it says, "Rend your heart and not your garments." In those days, and even today among the Jewish people, when there's mourning or the passing of someone, there would be the tearing of your garment. You'd rip your garment to show that you're in mourning. At Jewish funerals today, you actually put on a black strip of cloth you pin to your garment that shows you're in mourning because they don't want to tear the garments anymore. But God says, don't rend your garment. It has to take place here. In your heart is what has to be rended, has to be torn. And He says, "Return to the Lord your God, for He is gracious and He is compassionate. And God is slow to anger and He's abounding in love and He relents from sending calamity." Now, reflecting on these traditions, which I'm speaking of here, the common greeting during these days of awe, Yamim No'orim, is L'shana Tova Tikatevu, which means, "May your name," or "May you be inscribed," and it's implied, "in the book of life for a good year." That's the blessing that we give to each other. May your name be inscribed in the book of life. Now, this judgment book tradition, which I'm talking about here, although it's been embellished, and there's a lot of traditions, its origin is in Scripture. I don't share anything unless the origin is based on Scripture. King David wrote these words in Psalm 69, and verse 28. Psalm 69, verse 28 says, "May they be blotted out of the book of life and not be listed with the righteous." Now, how can you be blotted out of the book of life if there is no book of life? Also, Moshe Rabbeinu, our teacher, Moses, the prophet, pleaded in Exodus chapter 32, starting in verse 32 through 33, these words, "But now, please forgive their sin. But if not," and he's talking to God here. And we should all be talking to God. In fact, I was speaking with my wife last night, and I was telling her, I need to pray more. I know I need to pray more. I need to be more in the presence of the Lord. But I told her, I kind of live my life like Abraham did in a movie we had watched. I think Richard Harris played Abraham. He was always talking to God. Just walking, he'd be talking to God. And whatever he's doing, he'd be talking to God. And I do that all day long. I'm just talking to God. You know, maybe I'll have a bad thought. Oh, I'm sorry, Lord, for that bad thought. Or I'll see someone do something that's dumb. I'll say, oh, man, that was stupid. Oh, Lord, forgive me. I didn't mean to say that. I shouldn't say that. Lord, bless them. Lord, touch them. Father, in the name of Yeshua. You know, so I'm always repenting. I think I spend all day repenting. Okay, but I'm talking to him all the time. But this is Moses. He's talking to God in Exodus 32:32. But now please forgive their sin. But if not, he says, blot me, Lord. Blot me out of the book you have written. And the Lord replied to Moses, whoever has sinned against me, I will blot out of my book. So this is telling us here, there are these books. God said it right here, out of my book. David said here, the book blotted out of the book of life. Although this is a lot of tradition, there is a book. There is a book. And may your name be inscribed in that book of life, the Lamb's book of life. Now, the rabbis of old believed that the national repentance of Israel was a prerequisite to the Messiah's coming. That Israel as a whole, as a people, as a nation, needed to operate in repentance, and that this would be a prerequisite. This needed to take place before Messiah would come. And it says these words in Isaiah 59 and verse 20. Isaiah 59:20 says, the Redeemer will come to Zion, to those in Jacob who repent of their sins, declares the Lord. Who is that Redeemer? Yeshua. He is the Redeemer. That is a word, Goel, the Redeemer, the kinsman Redeemer. It says that he will come to Zion. He will come to Zion, come to his people when they repent of their sins. As we repent of our sins, God will reveal himself more and more to us. As believers in the Messiah, Yeshua, we realize that the repentance of Israel is a prerequisite to the Messiah's return, not to his coming, his return. Listen what it says in Matthew 23, verses 37 through 39. Matthew 23, 37 through 39 says, O Yerushalayim, Yerushalayim, you who kill the Nevi'im, the prophets, and stone those sent to you, how often I have longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing. Look, your house is left desolate. For I tell you that you will not see me again. This is Yeshua speaking. You will not see me again until you say, Baruch haba b'shem Adonai. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. I guess we should all say that. Let's say that. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. You will not see him again until we say this. Talking about Israel as a nation, as a people. In fact, Israel's repentance is one of the chief purposes or reasons for what's known as the Day of the Lord. The King of Israel will now return to Israel, to his people, until they're ready to receive him. And we need to be praying that the Jewish people, the nation of Israel, is ready, is open to receive him. The rabbis of old correctly understood the Nevi'im, the prophets, when they declared in the Talmud, in the writings of our people, were Israel to repent or practice repentance for even one day, for just one day, they would be redeemed. And the branch of David, you know who the branch of David is? That's Messiah, the branch of David, line of Judah, the branch of David, the Messiah would come. Tragically, Israel has not gotten to that place yet of complete repentance. There's a way to go. But I believe that the days and the times that we're in now is going to bring a shaking, not just here in the United States, not just among believers or unbelievers. It's going to be a shaking of the world. It's going to be a shaking that's taking place in Israel. And it's going to shake them and cause those dry bones to shake, to rattle, and come alive. Amen. But unrepentant Israel, along with the Goyim, the other nations, will have to go through the fury, the wrath of God. But they need to be willing to say, Baruch haba b'shem Adonai, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Come, Yeshua, come. The rabbis of old again described the significance of repentance. It is one of the things that they say was created before the world itself. It reaches to the very throne of glory. It prolongs a man's life and brings on redemption. And God urges Israel to repent and not be ashamed to do so, because a son is not ashamed to return to the Father who loves him. And Yeshua clearly portrayed this truth in the story of the prodigal son from the book of Luke chapter 15, that we should not, as a son, be ashamed to return to the Father who loves him. But you know, repentance is required of all mankind. And it's a prerequisite for the forgiveness of God. In the book of Zechariah, chapter 1, and verse 3, Zechariah 1:3, it says these words, "Return to me, declares the Lord Almighty, and I will return to you, says the Lord Almighty." Jeremiah 15, verse 19 says, "If you will repent, then I will restore you." These are the promises of God. But God will not pardon us unconditionally, but he waits for our repentance. When we repent, we must experience genuine remorse for the wrong that we have committed and be willing to make restitution. You've got to make things right. Repentance is the life and death principle in the Scripture. Listen what the prophet Ezekiel said in chapter 18 and verses 20 through 21. Ezekiel 18, 20 through 21, he says these words, "The soul who sins is the one who will die. The son will not share the guilt of the father, nor will the father share the guilt of the son. The righteousness of the righteous man will be credited to him, and the wickedness of the wicked will be charged against him. But if the wicked man turns away from all of his sins that he has committed and keeps all of my Torah, my decrees, and does what is just and does what is right, he will surely live and he will not die." These are God's promises for those of us who repent, return to him and trust him with our heart. But turning implies that sin is not impossible to remove. It's not some kind of stain that's unremovable, but it can be removed. But sin is a straying from the right path, the path that God has laid out for your life. And when we make the effort to turn from our sin, the power of God will help us to redirect our life toward him, and thus change our eternal destiny. And this is known as teshuva. It really comes from a Hebrew root verb shuv. Shuv means to return. There was an old Lamb song. Remember Lamb, the Messianic group, one of the very first groups? There was a song called Shuvi. Shuvi, Shuvi Yisrael, Shuvi. Remember that song?
Amen.
That means return Israel to your God. Teshuvah, from the root shuv, to return. Repentance literally means to return. That is, to return to God. Repentance is a change of our mind, our thoughts, which arises from sorrow for our sin and leads us to transformation. Listen what it says in Lamentations chapter 3, verse 40. This is written by the prophet Yirmiyahu, Jeremiah. Again, my wife and I were talking about him on the way here. And we're talking about Lamentations. And poor Jeremiah, always lamenting, always crying, praying for God's divine intervention. Lamentations chapter 3, verse 40. Let us examine our ways and test them, and let us return to the Lord. God wants us, during this month of Elul, during this physical and spiritual preparation time, as it says in Lamentations 3:40, He wants us to examine our ways, look deep inside, test them to see if they line up with God's Word, and then we are to return to the Lord. In 2 Corinthians, written by Rosh Shaul, the Apostle Paul, in chapter 7, verse 10, it says that godly sorrow brings repentance that leads to salvation and leaves no regret. But worldly sorrow brings death. There needs to be a godly sorrow in our life. There needs to be the tears that lead us closer to God. But if it's just worldly sorrow, that's empty, and that leads to nothingness, to death. So repentance is returning from your sin, whereas faith is turning to God. So teshuva is turning from sin and returning to God. That's what we need to do. Turn from your sin and turn to God. In teshuva, we turn from evil and we turn to good. And it requires that we turn away from sin and we forsake it. Forsake it. Ezekiel again says in chapter 18 and verse 30, repent, turn away from all your offenses, then sin will not be your downfall. Rid yourself of all your offenses that you have committed. And I like this next part. And get a new heart and a new spirit. And that's what we need to do. You need to get a new heart, and you need to get a new spirit. You need to get rid of that hardness of heart, that stoniness of heart. Get rid of the scabs, the calluses on that heart. You need to get a new heart, clean and pure and fleshly and beating and warm and alive. And you need a new spirit. You need to get rid of the old spirit, the things of the world, and allow the ruach, the breath, the spirit, the presence of the living God to indwell you, to cleanse you, to set you free, to renew you, to refresh you, that His resurrection power will turn your life around. That's what you need in your life. Thank you, Lord God. The rabbis again spoke of this repentance and this returning away from sin. And the 3rd century Babylonian teacher rabbi, Rabbi Yehuda, defined a true repentant person as one who twice more encountered the object which caused his original transgression or sin, and he was able to turn away from it. So if you have turned away from a sin, and then you are confronted with that same sin another time, and you forsake it or forsook it. And then you were confronted with the same sin a second time after you repented from it, and you forsook it. This shows that you have truly repented from God. Because you may repent and say, Lord, I'm sorry that I committed this sin. I'm sorry, but you know what? If you're really repentant, that sin, when you're confronted with it again, you're able to turn away. Because as soon as you repent of that sin, Satan is going to start laughing. Because, you did, didn't you? You think you repented of that sin. Well, let me show you. Here it is. What are you going to do with it? And most people will succumb to it again. If you're truly repented, you can turn away from it when you're confronted with it time after time. Likewise, the great famous rabbi Maimonides, known as Rambam, maintained that he has achieved perfect repentance who, upon finding himself in the position of repeating that sin again, is able to refrain from doing it. That's when you're truly repentant. And you can look at it in whatever way you want, be it problem with alcoholism, immorality, be it drug abuse, pornography, stealing, lying, whatever it may be, believe me, Satan is going to throw it in your face. And he's going to try you and test you. And he's going to try his best to make you fall. But there has to be that transformation that takes place in your life. Teshuva also requires us to turn toward God by putting complete trust in Him and our Redeemer, the Messiah, Yeshua. Hosea chapter 6 and verse 1. Hosea 6, 1 says, "Come, let us return to the Lord." And it goes on to say, "He will heal us." Going on, he'll say, "and bind up his wounds." And again it says, "He will revive us." And again, he will restore us. If you return to the Lord, God promises all these things. In Psalm chapter 2, verse 12, we read, "Blessed are all those who put their trust in him." Now, if you want to find the very best definition in all of God's word for this Hebrew word teshuvah, to repent and return to God, write this down. The best scripture that explains this is not in the first covenant, it's in the second covenant, in the Brit Chadashah, in the New Testament. And this is Acts chapter 3, verses 19 and 20. Acts 3, verses 19 and 20. I believe this is the greatest definition of teshuvah in God's word. Listen to what it says. "Repent then and turn to God." That's what teshuvah is, repenting and turning to God. "So that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord, and that he may send the Messiah who has been appointed for you, even Yeshua." I want you to be looking at that scripture this week, Acts 3, 19 through 20. As I mentioned earlier, repentance and returning to God is a prerequisite for the return of our Messiah. It will hasten the return of the Messiah. As it says in that verse that I just read from Acts, that if you repent and return to God, as your sins are wiped out, as a refreshing comes, this is going to bring about the coming of Messiah. It will hasten the return of the Messiah as we get our lives in order and seek after and search him with all of our heart. Now, Rabbi Elazar, who was one of the Israel's ancient rabbis, declared this. This is always one of my favorite. And I share these teachings every year. And if you say, but Rabbi, you shared this stuff last year, and you don't need to repent anymore, and you don't need to be right with God anymore, and you're perfect. Rabbi Elazar, one of Israel's ancient rabbis, declared, repent one day before your death. All right? Can you all do that? Repent one day before your death? Well, you know, his Talmudim, his disciples, were really confused. They were astonished. And they said, Rabbi, does then one know on what day he's going to die? And the rabbi replied, then all the more reason that you repent today. Amen. The idea, of course, is that men don't know when they're going to be called to God. So repentance is urgent. Teshuvah, that repentance and returning to God is complete and powerful only when we see the enormity of our sin and have experienced the saving grace, love, and compassion of God manifested through our Messiah, Yeshua. Teshuvah is a gift of God. Because in His loving mercy, He has given us a revelation concerning sin and salvation that's in His Word. He has given us the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, to impress the truth upon us, awaken our consciousness or our consciences, and lead us to repentance. He has given us the power and authority to overcome the flesh and the work of the enemy. Now, Romans chapter 2, verses 5 through 11 is interesting because it speaks about the books of life for the righteous and the wicked. If you have your scriptures, turn with me to Romano 2, what she said. Romans chapter 2, starting at verse 5 through 11, says this, speaking of the book of life for the righteous and the wicked, it says this, but because of your stubbornness, hey, he's talking to you guys out there, all right? But because of your stubbornness and your unrepentant heart, you are storing up wrath against yourself for the day of God's wrath, when His righteous judgment will be revealed. God will give to each person according to what he has done. To those who by persistence in doing good seek glory, honor, and immortality, He will give eternal life. But those who are self-seeking and who reject the truth and follow evil, there will be wrath and anger. There will be trouble and distress for every human being who does evil. First for the Jew, then for the Goyim, for the Gentile. But glory, honor, and peace for everyone who does good. First for the Jew, then for the Gentile. For God does not show favoritism. So you will be, according to what you have done, this is how you will be judged by God. For those who have done good, you'll be in the book of life. And those who did not, you will be in that book of the wicked. God does not show favoritism. Listen to these words. It's called Those Wasted Years. Listen to this closely. See how this speaks to your life. And then we'll have the Aaronic benediction. I looked upon a farm one day that once I used to own. The barn had fallen to the ground. The fields were overgrown. The house in which my children grew, where we had lived for years, I turned to see it broken down and brushed aside the tears. I looked upon my soul one day to find it too had grown with thorns and nettles everywhere. The seeds neglect had sown. The years had passed while I had cared for things of lesser worth. The things of heaven I let go when minding things of earth. To Messiah I turned with bitter tears and cried, O Lord, forgive! I haven't much time left for you. Not many years to live. The wasted years, forever gone. The days I can't recall. If I could live those days again, I'd make him Lord of all. People, make him Lord of all. Stand with me, please. Remember, we have a Parsha study at probably going to be 3 now. And also, we have some of these calendars back. Please, they're going like latkes, hot latkes. Hot cakes, what are they going fast? So you want to make sure you get one. Thank you, Lord.